Hallelujah. Father, we present ourselves today and we declare, Lord, you are worthy for the offering of our life. We give the very best that we have, Father, the offering of our heart, our life. And we submit to you, Lord, to obey your commands for our life. Father, we yield ourselves to be used of you for your glory. We give you the praise and honor and glory today for all you're going to do by your Holy Spirit. Father, I pray every heart be edified and encouraged today. In the name of Jesus, amen. Hallelujah. Well, you can be seated. Let's open our Bibles to Luke chapter 5, verse 12. Luke 5:12. It says here, it came to pass, as he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus, fell on his face, and besought him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. Now we have no record in the gospel of Jesus ever refusing anyone who came to him. He didn't say, well, I don't feel like it today, or call me tomorrow. But rather, it was I will, yes and amen. And we conclude the will of God is always to heal us. That's his will. Now, sometimes there's things need to be worked in between the prayer and the manifestation. However, his will was unchanged regardless of our position. You know, regardless of what we need to know or do, his will is unchanged that he desires to bring healing to us, which would include deliverance, restoration, reconciliation, peace, every aspect of what salvation provides for us. Now, he charged him to tell no man, because at that point, he was still endeavoring to move about in the nation, and as word got out of who he was and what he was doing, the crowds would be overwhelming. So that's why there's, I think it was around five different instances where he said, don't tell anyone. But then the time came, it was, yes, now you can. There are times and seasons of things, and we need to be sensitive to that, God's timing, in whatever he's desiring for us to do. So he told him to show himself to the priest, which is what they were to do, to get the confirmation from the priest so they could go back into society. Now, the thing with people with leprosy, they were banned from being in society. So you can figure they had severe rejection problems on top of everything else. You know, they were cast out. They could be around no one. And family members that cared for them would like take food out on the hillside and leave it there. Hope they got it before some animal did. So this man was risking being punished according to the law by coming around the people and actually touching Jesus and Jesus touching him. So Jesus healed him and said, go get the confirmation. Go get the confirmation. Sometimes it's good to have confirmation, be it from a doctor or whoever, with a confirmation from the Lord's given. Whether you need that or maybe someone else would need to hear that confirmation. Yeah, it's not just some story. There's confirmation here. So he directed him in that manner. But so much more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and be healed of him, of their infirmities. To hear and be healed. Now, I want to draw attention to that. To hear and be healed. He had words of eternal life. Words of life. And they knew they needed to hear him. But also hearing him is where faith's going to arise to be in a position to receive what he carries and what he brings. And it's important that people hear him, have faith arise, and then receive prayer, be it the laying on of hands or however. I'm not real favorable to just, well, pray for my brother's uncle's cousin, and if the Lord touched them, they don't even know what happened. Yeah, they don't know. Well, how's God glorified in that? They don't even know he did it. They need to hear and be healed. Now, Romans 10:17 says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, the words by are two different Greek words, but have different meanings. And it means faith comes out of the process of hearing continuously. And hearing by, the second time, it means hearing unto completion. So we hear out of the process. It's the word ek, out of. Out of that process of hearing the word. And we continue until the manifestation or the completion. Well, how long do I have to keep hearing about this till it's complete? And if we believe the word, we have confidence that as we continue, it will manifest. But we continue under the completion. Now, I want to state, I am not moved by my own waiting for manifestation. What I believe is unchanged. It's not affected, unchanged. You don't change your doctrine because you don't see something right away, like a little child. We're there yet, we're there yet, we're there yet. Yeah, we don't change our doctrine. And many people over the years, when something's not manifest right away, they change their doctrine to suit their experience. But rather, we believe the word until our experience changes and conforms to what we believe from the word of God. So that's my position. It'll always be my position. You know, if something's not manifest yet, what may be something I need to look at. But it also can be that he's doing a work between believing and receiving. Believing and receiving. Jesus said, if when you pray, you believe, you receive, you shall have it. Mark 11:24. There's the believing unto receiving. So you begin with the believing, and you continue in that, hearing the word, meditating the word, speaking the word, until you receive manifestation. But sometimes there's some things God wants to do in between, sometimes now, in between believing and receiving. And I'm not saying he breaks your arm to teach you a lesson. I don't believe that doctrine. But in the time of waiting, many times there's some things we would learn. Now, in my case, what he's been doing in me the last 2 years or whatever, it's working a deeper compassion. And compassion is necessary to ministry, particularly healing ministry. And he's working it deeper in me all the time to where I think, how, Lord, how much more can I take? I mean, a commercial come on TV and I'm crying over it. You know, certain ones, certain other ones, I can't stand them, but certain ones, you know, they just grab your attention. It's like, oh my gosh. Like for wounded vets or things like that. I identify with them. And we watch an episode of The Chosen every night before we eat dinner. And they really do a superb job. You have to understand what the writer and director, Dallas Jenkins, was doing with it. If you don't understand, you won't get it. It'll be boring to you. He's trying to help you identify the people suffering who came to Jesus, and to identify especially with the 12 as they're following him. and seeing all this and trying to understand and also to identify with Jesus, who's working his earth ministry, who's working that and releasing it, of which he's going to command us to do. And I get so absorbed into this, because we've been doing this for a while. I get so absorbed. It's not long sitting there just holding back tears. I get so identified. Especially there's people that we read about, and you can just read it, and it's just sort of words to you. It's not personal. But I read it, and they were hopeless. Hopeless. And I can feel their heart, or what's in their heart, of feeling hopeless. Now, there's a lot of ways you can feel something's hopeless. But one is if you have an incurable disease, you can feel, man says, this is hopeless. And there's a lot of people out there who've, and talking about present day, who don't realize, they don't think about this, have a trust in the arm of the flesh, that man, technology can fix anything. And they come along and are told, sir, I have nothing that I can do to help you. You're dying. There's nothing. Now, we can try this bizarre treatment that for few people survive. And some people, because they have no other hope, they'll jump on that and die. Because it's an untested, unproven thing. And they're trusting that. Some people die in surgeries that aren't even supposed to be serious. And there, in my encounters, going in and out, in different medical facilities and people, I'm aware in a way I was never before. How many people there are out there that hear the words, Mr. So-and-so, there's not really any hope for you. Maybe you live 6 months or whatever. Or you have to do this, you have to do that. Or you're going to die. And people that don't know Jesus are overwhelmed with that, unto depression. And there's a lot of them. The thing I didn't realize, there's a lot of them out there. And with a toxic exposure that we've been exposed to, things like cancer and other diseases are increasing. And a lot of the worldly communications keep it hidden. It's staying hidden. And these things are increasing more and more. Now, we just went through this whole COVID thing, and the spirit of fear was released over people. They're getting shots, injecting more poison. And we're going to see the effects of that, or are beginning to already. And some of the medical people I've dealt with are believers. And I appreciate they're in the position they are. And they'll not object to the word. You know, they're wanting to serve the Lord in what they're doing, the best they know. Praise God for that. There's good people in there. However, Jesus is our hope. Yes. We're alive because of him. We are saved from our sin, which destroys us. We are saved from the torment of the enemy. As we sing these kind of songs, I mean, just so humbling to me, singing these songs. Well, I begin to say, he's doing this work with compassion with me. And I think, Lord, how long? How long? To what end? How long? And I marvel. I mean, I've had waves of compassion before, but it's like every day. Waves of compassion. And there's a reason I'm going to share this. The people came to hear and be healed. Jesus is still our healer. However, people need to hear the word, and if they're not willing to come and hear, they're not following God's prescription, so they don't see it. They need to hear. Now, people will make appointments with medical facilities and change their whole schedule around that. And they'll diligently follow taking a certain drug. Well, here's Jesus' prescription. The people need to hear and be healed. And if they're not willing to come hear the word, then they're probably going to die at the hands of whatever man gives to them some hope. I don't mean to be hard, but it's reality. They need to be willing to hear, and we need to be willing to tell people. Don't be shy about it. Don't be shy to say, Jesus is healer. He can heal you. But I invite you to come and hear the word and be healed. If you don't invite, well, how are they going to come? Now, throughout the Gospels and here as well, both in the scriptures preceding and following this, there were people who heard about Jesus and drew near. Sometimes they'd stay on the outskirts, and sometimes they would press through a crowd to touch him.
Yes.
This isn't like a place like India where there's no windows, just holes in the wall, and people stand outside and listen. Or all, you know, you have a loudspeaker or off the edge, like we would see at times, and them come up for prayer. They're actually listening, but they're afraid to be seen with you. Isn't that funny? People are afraid to walk into a church. They might lock the doors and give out, cyanide poison or something. You know, you can't imagine just the crazy fears people get. They're afraid just to come into a church sometimes. But if you're desperate and you have no hope, they need us. And again, I would say, don't be afraid. And we got to be honest. Are we afraid they might reject my church and make fun of me now? Well, I won't say anything. I believe a lot of people deal with that. We have something good. We have something the world needs. And we can just basically say, taste and see. The Lord's good. Taste and see. He'll receive. So the Lord's been working this compassion in me. And well, I'm going to share this now. I didn't know it was yet. For months, I've been sitting on something. And that's to have healing ministry meetings every week. Not disrupting Sunday morning, because the teaching ministry is preeminent. If you don't have that, you don't have anything. You know, sustain the teaching and preaching and worship. So if we flow into excessive amount with the gifts, then you, with some churches, they don't have any teaching. They don't have foundation. So to me, that's preeminent. So what's in my heart is to begin to have meetings Saturday mornings. And if somebody goes to another church, they can come. It's not interfering with them. And just ministering the word on healing and praying for them. And you might have a neighbor or a co-worker or somebody or a cousin's uncle's brother. And they need invited. And I don't care if only one person shows up. We will minister to them. And my heart will be the development of teams. It's not about me. It's not something I've yearned for or looked for. I'm happy just teaching the word, being a pastor. I was very fulfilled doing missions, but I can't travel right now, and I'm so blessed Brother Allen's picked up that mantle. That aspect of our ministry is still going just as strong. The teaching ministry is going just as strong. The worship of the Lord's going just as strong, no matter what. So this would be adding to that, and it's not something I would expect y'all to come to, although everyone would be welcome to be a part of it as often as you would want. For me, it's not about numbers. I don't really care about that. But rather, I've been carrying this. It's like I'm pregnant. I mean, I feel like I just had a baby just by sharing this when we leave here. Just to be able to exhale. I birthed a baby. I didn't know I was going to share this today, but I just felt it's time. Exactly when be starting, I don't know, but for your benefit, I let you know that I sought counsel of the men that speak into my life, Brother Dale, Bob, Pastor Dave Landis. These guys are all used in healing ministry. Pradeep, and also Brian Wills. And Brian Wills, part of Armada, you may or may not know, he has a book here, 10 Hours to Live. And I think we did have that, 10 Hours to Live. But anyway, Brian is used in healing ministry in the States and internationally. And really, we could say he's an evangelist who teaches. And when I talked to Dale, I said, talk to Brian. Brian, she's used a lot that way. So I called Brian. It's about a month ago. Brian was all excited. I mean, he was excited. He was ready to come up that day. You know, he was excited. And what he's been doing here in the U.S., I didn't know this, is setting up healing ministry schools or whatever you want to call it. That's what he's been doing. So he was all excited. And he said he's tried about every different which way you could do it. And he knows all the ministries that do. And, you know, he can speak to the pros and cons of each way. But I do feel there needs to be teaching. Not excessive amount, because someone's not used to sitting long. You know, you don't want to wear them out their first time. But then praying for the people and allowing teams to develop. Because like I said, it's not about me. And all these guys I know will come and minister in that. So, I mean, they all said they would. You know, as they're in the area or invited in some cases. Brother Dale moved back up to Titusville. Bob's up there. Brian's down Richmond, Virginia. Pradeep's in Sri Lanka. Got some long-distance relationships. And Pastor Dave's up in Harrisburg. He's shared the men's retreat. And I'm good friends with all these men. Dave and I are good friends. We meet for breakfast usually once a month or every other month. Fellowship. It's interesting, my meeting with Dave, we have so much in common, it's not even funny. I mean, he's almost dead from diabetes. He's on dialysis. You're getting victory over those things. But we, and pastor over 40 years and travel, you know, our whole lives are like the same blueprint. But anyway, it's good to have friends in the Lord and to submit. And just because I'm a pastor, that doesn't mean I don't have relationships where I submit myself and what I feel the leading of the Lord is. You know what most people do? They determine what they're going to do, and then they'll come and say, I want to get counsel. They already decided what they're doing. You're not coming for counsel. You already decided you want a rubber stamp. Many times with marriage issues, people do that. They'd be wise to get counsel before they're engaged. Because once you get down that emotional trail, it's hard to break off and see if it was right or not. It's very hard for people. Some will, but many won't. So you seek counsel before you step on something. Now, I felt this getting stronger and stronger and stronger in my heart. And over the last 3 months, I was running this by these guys. Hey, Holy Spirit's dealing with me. I guess, what do you think? Do you have any witness? Yeah, brother, go for it. Yeah, brother, go for it. So for me, it's just a matter of the timing. And I feel the time's here. And when I talked to Brian, he got real excited, as I said. And he said, he's convinced in this day and this hour, the healing power of God is what's going to bring the evangelistic breakthrough in this country. Because what's happened is developed such an intellectualism and so much unbelief and hardness in the world outside of the miracle power of God. Jesus is just some story to them or some religious thing people get into. But when they hear, sir, there's nothing else we can do for you, and their whole world shattered, they want hope. They need hope. And they need a faith built in Jesus Christ, who is their hope. As they continue to hear, sometimes it's immediately a manifestation, but probably the majority need to continue to hear till the work's done. So we'll begin having meetings just to minister healing, and whether it's a one or it's numerous. Now, with you can't predict. You know, when you're sick or whatever, your healing could be needed immediately on a Monday. That's different. I'm talking about, you know, people who have had a diagnosis or they're dealing with something that's chronic, I guess is the word I'm looking for. And it's only getting worse. It's chronic disease. That they begin to hear the word and be healed. So Jesus, after these times of ministry, would withdraw himself for 16 and pray and wait on the Lord. And he came back out, and there's many who be saved and healed. And verse 17 says that the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And that's speaking of the healing anointing that can be tangible. A tangible healing anointing present and released. And my expectation is, it's not just about me ministering, although I'll be there, but the Spirit of God's going to use some of you, the gifts of the Spirit, as the Spirit would lead. Because His power would be present to heal. So I'm looking forward to that. And especially those who have a sense of calling to it. Because with any ministry, there's a price to pay. It doesn't come at your convenience. It's not like, well, if I have time, if I feel like it, well, you won't be used much at all, if that's in your thoughts. Because many times, the ministry of the Lord's inconvenient. And what it comes down to is, are we willing to give what we have in service to Him to minister to others? Like I say, a lot of times it's not at a convenient time. Ministry's needed now. Now I want to make reference to Matthew 8, where Jesus came into Peter's wife's household, or rather her mother was sick, the fever and dying. And Jesus healed her and says she rose up, healed, and ministered to them. When we receive from the Lord something that's a great reflection of our heart and whether we were in faith or not, or somebody else's faith got the job done, we'll rise up to serve. If you have to be paid to do something for the Lord, you're not serving at all. I'll hear these politicians say, yes, we're serving. Yeah, getting paid $200,000 a year and stealing another million. They're not serving. They're not giving anything. They're taking. That's not taking and serving or not. Don't. That's oil and water. They don't go together. But as we know we've received from the Lord, we say, Lord, what would you have me to do, like Paul did? Our hearts, Lord, what can I do? Whether it's to help one here, one there, to go here, go there, to volunteer. Those who know the Lord's done something in a group, you'll see serving voluntary. Voluntary serving, where they know it's the Lord. But where it's they're walking as the natural man in the flesh, then they want to get paid or reimbursed somehow for everything. Not to do anything unless there's something coming back for me. But the heart that's blessed says, I give it all to you. We sing songs like that. They mean something to me. I trust they do you as well. Lord, I give it all to you. As we come and remember what he's done, that's the natural reflex. Lord, I'm humbled. I present myself. I give myself. I want to minister to you, to your people, to the world. So as we move on with this, my expectation is for the healing anointing to be present and manifest. And as there's testimony, which we'll include testimonies in the time, teaching and testimony, as there's testimony of people coming and getting healed this place, guess what's going to happen? More are going to come. That's what's going to happen. The advertisement doesn't need to be done in a worldly way. I cringe when I see so many ministries revert to worldly advertising. I cringe every time. In fact, a lot of them, I just delete. You know, send emails, and it's like a worldly advertising. Delete? That's me. Delete? The Spirit of God's our advertisement. The results. Him working's the advertisement. And people like to talk about what like products they use, stores they go to. Your people are your best salesman. The partaker of the fruit, that's your best salesman. That be right, Brother Allen? That's your best salesman. You get a happy customer, they half the sales job's done already because they're going to tell everybody. And we see that in the Gospels. People telling others about this Jesus. But if you don't believe the anointing's there and you don't believe God's going to answer our prayer, well, you're not going to invite anyone. But as we believe, as we see, you have more and more, and there's a spreading. And that's what Brian Wills was so excited about. He said, in this day, in this hour, that's how the gospel's going to spread. Again, because people are so intellectual, and they have their things they do, and they're so disjointed. It's not like it was years ago. But again, as a man hears, there's no hope for you, sir. Them and everybody, their whole family, they're humbled, crying out. And you see it in The Chosen. They depict us so well. These people, no hope. Well, we have hope. We have hope in Jesus. That issue's solved for us. We have hope for every situation because in his death and resurrection, he is the living hope. And as we have faith in him to bring manifestation, it shall be done. I want to go to James 5 for a moment and finish there. James chapter 5. Because I'm getting to something here. Verse 16. Verse 15 talks about the prayer of faith saving the sick. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. A fervent prayer. A fervent prayer. A fervent prayer. You know, it's praying with an urgency in our heart. Pray one for another. So today, in this remaining time, I want to offer to pray for any of you that want prayer for healing. As I said, my doctrine does not change by the fact I'm still waiting for some manifestation. Doesn't change anything for me. And I had to process through that for a while. Not that I changed anything, but I'm just, okay, I pray for you and lay hands on you. But I want to add to that. I'm going to pray for whoever of you to be healed, but then I want you all to pray for me. Pray one for another that you be healed. And there was an example in Genesis, I think it's 20, of Abimelech, where a curse came in because of Abram's sin. And all the wombs of all the women were closed up. Well, anyway, he came to understand what happened and prayed for everyone. And then after that, his wife was healed, because his wife's womb was closed as well. His wife was healed, but he prayed for the nation first. And then that healing came to him. So let us felt to act on this today. I wasn't planning on it, but I've been meditating on this so much. Lord, when do I begin to share something like this? And like I say, I want to meet with Brian again. And he's going to help kick things off. And he has a dramatic testimony. And you know, the doctors gave him 10 hours to live with this cancer. It's expanding like an unbelievable rate. I don't know the number, but... And 10 hours to live, and the Lord healed him. Let's believe for complete work of the Lord, not accept certain things, to continue in faith until. So I'd like the worship team to come and play something appropriate at this point, and I want to just open it that if there's anyone who would like prayer, just to come, Brother Dave's word, suddenly, well, that relates to all this, like, okay, suddenly, it's time. Related to me, anyway. It's time to move forward and do this. And like I said, I don't really care the response. Could be one person, could be 100, didn't make any difference. Well, as we move into that, when I begin, which won't be too far in the future, I'm expecting manifestation. I really desire to see everyone here receive their healing. I don't know if I just say first, but ahead of that, or us be believing God together. And, I had a struggle a little bit with, Lord, can I do this when I haven't fully received yet? And it's like, well, yeah, the word's unchanged. I don't have to wait. You know, if that were the case, most people I know, used of the Lord, have something, you know, they have a crick in their knee or take blood pressure medicine or something. Nothing's perfect with them. It's just what I'm dealing with. You can see. Now, I want to exhort you, don't judge people because you can see something. That's unrighteous judgment. When other people have their own issues, we need to see people through the eyes of faith and love. And the thing with, I shared about compassion, The key to ministry is you have compassion for the people you're praying for and an identification of faith with the one you're praying to, Jesus. And going through what I have an identification with people suffering beyond whatever I ever have had before. An identification with them. And it's not a matter of God causing anything. It's a matter of while you're in a position, you learn what you learn. And He's doing that greater work. So you have increase of compassion and faith. And you put them together and God moves. God can use us. Hallelujah. So let's sing a song of worship. Hallelujah.